Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 375. If you'd like a copy of it, we will tell you at the end of the program four different ways that you can receive one. But right now, let's go up to the throne of the living God to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we have music. We have godly music. We have godly message today. One that shows your true character, that you actually get angry. And you cause people to be angry too, because you are not at all for a lawless society. And it's so vexing to my soul to watch the news when I see all these people saying, I'm wondering what got into the head of that young boy that went in and killed those 32 people, and then shot himself. Well, and then I look at the President of the United States and all the, knowing that he's such a bozo that he would follow the directions of the Antichrist Pope and bomb all the people, which is a lot more than 32 or 33 people that he's murdering. He's murdering hundreds of millions of people, and you can see it does even affect him when he's out there on the golf course. But they never say anything about that. It's like, millions are nothing, but, 33 people are something. Of course it's awful, but the government's father is the very one that's causing everybody to have that type of attitude to where they can just pick up guns and go and kill everybody that anybody that they want, then going to these video games and watch them where people are just being killed and for no reason whatsoever. And all the other different things like free sex and adultery and fornication, it's meaningless because what they've done, the Antichrist, Satan with his Antichrist machine, the Vatican is one world government, it's church, and it's our cult. And its media has made everybody to sing the new song, hey, let's hang our, get loose like a wild, long neck goose, oh, everybody just go crazy. And you are crazy, you people out there, and you really need to listen to the Word of God, because if you don't, the Lord is going to be angry at you, and I'm going to show you that it's not Mother Nature, that it's the Lord that gets angry and pours out his wrath. And all the these people, these wound lickers, are crying out and asking for more money, and they use 90% of the money for themselves rather than for the people. Look at the way that the people of New Orleans were left all by themselves, and they still haven't gotten anything together over there. And even if they did, you're going to wreck it again for them, Lord, because you told me you would. But Father, we just praise and thank you for that we have the straight and narrow way that it takes to be blessed here on earth and to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven and stay completely out of the pit of hell and the lake of fire. So, Lord, I pray that you'll open up every mind, every heart, the spirit of man, so that your words can sink down, because you want our bodies to be your container, that we contain you, which is your word, and that's all we contain, so that whatever comes out of us is your word, and that way we're a living example that the Lord is still living out his life, living in us and through us, doing his work in these very last days, that the souls out there in Radio Land and everywhere, and the church that has slipped away somehow from their eyes being peeled on the earth so much, he said, love not the world, and they do. Lord, that you'll do all these things, that the folks will be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, and now I've got some music for you. This is me singing, I'll Walk with God from this day on.
helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to Him. I'll lean on Him for.
That's what Enoch did. And then he was not. The Lord took him into the kingdom of heaven, and he'll be one of the two witnesses in these very last days. I believe he's on earth right now. A lot of people say, well, it'll be Moses. No, it won't be Moses, and it won't be Elijah. Elijah's already been back, and he was the spirit of Elijah went into John the Baptist's body. And because of the fact that John the Baptist doubted the Lord, he said, are you the one, or is there one to come? And he saw the dove fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, come down on him and baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And he knew that there's nobody else been on earth that ever raised the dead and opened blind eyes and healed leprosy just with one fraction of a second. And that healed every single person in all the different towns that he went to and preached the marvelous word of immortality. And this is Jesus. And then he doubted, you know, are you the one? And it's no wonder he got his head cut off. You know, doubt the Lord. By faith we're saved. Only by faith. And Jesus said, by doubt we're damned. And so, you know, we've got a long haul. It may not be as long as we think, because the Lord can come back at any time. But whatever the time is, we have to stay in the Lord at all times, to the end. Otherwise, we'll never make it into the kingdom of heaven. There can't be one spot, one wrinkle, one blemish. If there's any sin on your soul, forget it. You're not going to heaven. You're not. And you can, you know, after this message, after you hear it, you can put yourself in another spacey mode with your mind like so many people do today. But it's for sure you won't go there. And so we do have some testimonials. So where's the first one from?
From Ghana, West Africa.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Olamo, greetings of peace, love, and joy of the Lord be with you and your ministry in Jesus' name. The main goal of this letter is to send my heartfelt appreciation and thankfulness for the Olamo World newsletters and other Christian literature that you have been sending me. I have been benefited from its abundant teaching and admonishing for righteous living. One has to keep in thee, Lord. Your newsletter and Messiah books, with your other literature, have helped me to acquire more knowledge and understanding in the Word of God. You have a very significant impact on my righteous living and my desire of more for His Word. So I urge you to keep on sending the literature which I am so eager to read and distribute to people. Pastor, I am telling you that the distributing of the Word of God has been changing and winning souls for Christ here. I would be happy if your ministry could send me King James Version Bibles, Messiah books, your message and preaching videotapes. I would be glad if all my requests are granted. May the Lord continue to bless you in Jesus' name. Yours for a full cup, Adosai, from Ghana, West Africa.
Well, thank you very much for those blessings. The same be unto thee. May God bless you richly and your family and your ministry there in Ghana. And do we have another one?
Yes, from Folkston, Georgia. Okay. To whom it may concern, I came upon the literature of Tony Olamo in my search for the true Messiah, and I was amazed at what I found when I stumbled upon this newsletter. I would like to receive Tony Olamo's book, The Messiah, other literature, and CDs by Tony Olamo. Thank you for allowing me to see what this government of the world is doing. Sincerely, William from Folkston, Georgia.
Right, the government of the world. The Bible tells us that there'd be a one-world government. The Bible also tells us, while this is happening, there is this power in the air. It's called the devil, that great red dragon, the devil, and he is empowering this entire Antichrist movement that's happening on earth. Now, there's been one Antichrist after the other. The Apostle John said that there were many Antichrists, even in the world at the time that he was living. And it's actually, the Antichrist is one corporate body of people. It's like everyone that is Antichrist, against God. So it's a body of people. And the Christians, the true Christians, are one body of Christ. He is the head, Christ is the head, and we are the body. We do the work down here. And there's many false prophets that say we're not supposed to do any work, but the Lord said we're going to be judged by all of our works, whether they be God, whether we allow God to do the work in us or not. And we all have to get together as one person. Now, there's a chapter in the Bible that talks about that. That's the 11th chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read some of this to you, because right in this chapter it tells that God makes people angry at lawlessness and evil. Now, of course, there is freedom of speech, but the people that say things that are against, against humanity. The people of the world say against humanity. No, what they're saying, the things that they're really saying that's wrong, and all these newscasters, even this O'Reilly guy, he's not born again of the Spirit at all, so he's dead and knows nothing, the Bible says. Now, we either have to believe these newscasters or believe God. As for me, I believe God in everything that he says. Now, they got this whole thing going about anger management and so on, but I can tell you that God doesn't have anything like that for his leaders. God actually, in this chapter, makes people angry. He made King Saul angry. Okay, this is chapter 11 in 1 Samuel. And this has to do with Saul defeats the Ammonites. Now, the Ammonites were a really bad bunch of people. They were lawless and they were cruel. So, what it says here in the Word, which is the Word of God, about a month later, King Nahash of Ammon led his army against the Israelite, a city of Jabesh Gilead. It's just like, yeah, I picture when I read things like this, is that this army of antichrists began to attack Los Angeles. Maybe you can put it into perspective better, because this really happened. And, you know, you have to picture it. Without a vision, the people perish. But the citizens of Jabesh asked for peace. They didn't want to fight. But, you know, all the people in the body of Christ have to fight. Why? Because there's so many evil people in this world that you have to be on a constant. You have to have the full armor of God on at all times. You can't rest. You can't lay that armor down. You have to keep it on every waking moment. And even I keep mine on during the time I'm sleeping. So all these people, the Israelites, says, make a treaty with us. You know, please make a treaty with us and we will be your servants, unquote. They pleaded. Verse 2. All right, Nahash said, but only on one condition. I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you as a disgrace to all Israel. Wouldn't that tick you off if somebody was giving you that sort of an ultimatum?
Amen.
Wouldn't that make you angry?
Yes.
Well, they didn't get angry yet. Give us 7 days to send messengers throughout Israel, replied the leaders of Jabesh. If none of our relatives will come to save us, we will agree to your terms. In other words, you can gouge your eyes out. Verse 4, when the messengers came to Gibeah, Saul's hometown, and told the people about their plight, everyone broke into tears. Oh, oh, and they were just, instead of getting angry. Verse 5, Saul was plowing in the field. And when he heard about all this, when he returned to town, he asked, what's the matter? Why is everyone crying? So they told him about the messenger from Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came mightily upon Saul. Now listen to this. And now the Spirit of God, this is God that came down upon Saul, and he became very angry. God makes people extremely angry. Saul then took two oxen and cut them into pieces and sent the messengers to carry them throughout Israel with this message. Now here's the threat. If you don't think God and God's people threaten you, just like the filthy world cult, government, and media, you're crazy, because you know, God threatens. He threatened me when I first met him in that office, when he first came to me. So he carried these things throughout all of Israel with this message. Quote, this is what Saul's telling them with the anger of God on him. This is what will happen to the oxen of anyone who refuses to follow Saul and Samuel into battle. And the Lord made the people afraid, because the whole duty of man is to be afraid of God and keep his commandments. Now, if anyone tells you any different than that, they're the devil. They're definitely the devil, believe me. So God, the Lord, made the people afraid of Saul's anger. And it was God that put the anger on Saul. And all of them came out together as one. Well, that's what the one world government and the one world cult and the media is doing, is threatening and making everybody so afraid of them that they all become one. We've become the police force for the Vatican and for the world government. They have trained all of you unwittingly that you're to report anybody that they say is bad. Not them, even though they claim to kill children, mothers, and dads, and also they are having homosexual affairs with preteen boys, all these priests and everything, but only who they say are evil, and they're the evil ones. And so the Lord made the people afraid of Saul's anger. The Bible says, be ye angry, but don't sin. If God makes you angry, don't sin. I'm angry at this lawless society that we live in. It's a man-made society by Satan's cult, the Vatican. It's one world government and media. Now, you see everybody's mourning and mourning and mourning over all these kids that got killed, and that's good. It should be that way. But I don't know. These kids were probably out having sex, just like all the other kids in school are, committing fornication. And they should be afraid that somebody, because the government has nurtured this type of environment for everybody to live in. They have created it. And people are doing that. They're smoking weed and having sex with anyone that they want to at any time without the virtue of being married. And so this makes me angry enough to get out and preach the gospel, even though the Vatican, the Antichrist, Vatican, the devil, its world government and its media threatens to kill me, murder me all the time. So all of the people of the Lord, of them, came out together as one. And that's what's happened. When you make people afraid, then they come out as one. If you don't get angry at the evil that's going on today, to where you'll come out as one against this evil government that wants to punch your eyes out, take your kids away from you, just like they did in Egypt, and put them in foster homes when they don't need to be put in foster homes. It should be the people, and according to the Bible, we who are Christians are the ones that are supposed to be telling these children the truth. And when we try to, these evil people want to put us in prison for telling the truth about this. So all of the Israelis came out together as one army, angry. When Saul mobilized them at Bezek, they found that there were 300,000 men of Israel in addition to 30,000 from Judah. So Saul sent the messengers back to Jabesh, Gilead, to say, we will rescue you by morning. No, he says by noontime tomorrow, with an exclamation mark on it. What joy there was throughout the city when that message came down, when it arrived. Verse 10, the men of Jabesh then told their enemies, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you can do to us as you wish. In other words, you can put our eyes out and have sexual relationships with our wives and take our children and make slaves out of them. But before dawn the next morning, Saul arrived, having divided his army into three detachments. He launched a surprise attack against the Ammonites. The whole world is full of these Ammonites today, and slaughtered them the whole morning, all morning long. The remnant of their army was so badly scattered that no two of them were together. And that's what happens when we're all together as an army. Well, then we're a power. But when everybody's just not listening to the Lord or listening to those that God has called to be the leaders, spiritual leaders in this world, there's nothing. You're like, there's no one can do anything by themselves. We all must be one body, one church, and under the Spirit of God. Then the people exclaimed to Samuel, "Now, where are those men who said Saul shouldn't rule over us? Where are those ones that wanted to punch our eyes out and rape our wives and take them into and take our children and make slaves out of them? Where are they? Bring them here, and we will kill them." But Saul replied, "No, no one will be executed today, for today the Lord has rescued Israel. And we are spiritual Israel, and we need to pray together. We need to work together. We need to fight the fight together. And when we fight with spiritual arms and armor. We do not have guns, bullets, bombs, or anything, but we do have something more powerful, and that's the Word of God." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us all go to Gilgal to reaffirm Saul's kingship. Verse 15, so they went to Gilgal, and in a solemn ceremony before the Lord, they crowned him king. Then they offered peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all of Israel, all the Israelites, were very happy. The end of chapter 11. So right there, and throughout the Bible, it tells us, you know, that if we're not angry at lawlessness, then you're not really a Christian. And people really, you know, they like to use the term Christian, that's what they are. But, you know, you really need to know the true personality of the Lord and the things that He loves and the things that He hates. God sometimes brings anger down on people. I get so angry when I see people on TV and read the news how there's no law anymore, that there's a sensible law that God has laid down for all of us. We all, if we're going to have any peace in this world or any happiness, we're all going to have to join together and make the things that the Lord has said stick in your brain, like the hair in a drain. Now, we all got to get busy and get together. Now, many people tell me I'm the only one out there doing this. Just think, I've already taken half of the Catholic cult down, and that's why they're throwing so many false statements about me. I've split their church down the middle by just preaching the Word of God. So, under a normal situation of people, saints in the Lord, in the church, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they must always exceed the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Lord wants us to be anointed by, like, when He wants us to be angry, He wants us to immediately be angry. So He doesn't have to put us in a position to where being disciplined outwardly, where He has to create a very uncomfortable environment for us, where we have to go into a prison, or we have to be set in stocks outside the city with our arms and legs in a stock and for people to spit on us and things like that. He much prefers that we are anointed inwardly and that we definitely follow the leading, the guiding direction of the Holy Spirit, because when we rebel against God, He's going to create an environment for you or myself that we're not going to like at all. And so, like, if these people didn't get angry and wouldn't do what Saul said, there would have been something done to their ox and even to themselves. It's the discipline of the Holy Spirit. God loves it when His children are obedient. And the Antichrist would be very happy if every nation would just fall into place and fall under Satan's dictatorship. And that's exactly why he's so happy today. He knows his time is short, and that's why he's gone completely crazy on the world today. But Satan would just love it if everybody would remain lawless like they are today. There's a surge of people trying to get back to God, but they're following a lot of novices that really are not that familiar with the Word of God. And they're telling them a lot of wrong things. And there's a lot of phonies, like President Bush that says he's a Christian, when in fact he is part of the Antichrist movement. He is definitely a member of the Antichrist cult. And he is running the government as a dictator, because that's what this regime is all about, is dictator. He wants to be dictator of the world. Democracy is dictatorship. They would love that if you were continued being lawless. So we must choose which person we're going to discipline. You should discipline yourself. You've got to discipline yourself to either be God's person or Satan's person. God's children or Satan's children. Okay, we have the remainder of a letter. It's a negative letter that was sent to me. I get some of them, but some of them make me so angry that I just figure that maybe there's a lot of people that figure that are so far away from the Lord that they figure the same way. And so I'd like to have Michelle here read the balance of that letter. Go ahead.
Antonio Lamo's latest radio interview, he is talking about Adolf Hitler.
Yes, I am. Because Adolf Hitler wised up. He knew that the world government had used Germany. They were just using all of his facilities. They were trying to build him into a world power to where his armed forces would be the one to take over the whole world. They went into Poland and they went into Czechoslovakia and they thought, boy, this is it. We're going to rule the world now for the Vatican. But then he found out that they were using his manpower and they were using all of his money just like they are us. Oh, we're sending hundreds and thousands of billions of dollars overseas to rebuild cities that were blowing up, and they're none of our business. We are the mighty arm of the world government, and if we back off from the world government, well, then everybody would just be living in their own little country, their own little sovereign land, and everything would be peaceful. These people are morons that are running this government, like Bush, and the Pope is a moron, and so are all these people that are in that cult, or they wouldn't be in there. They have to be morons. Yeah, they have to be Satan's little children. So once, it would pull out of the United Nations, we would save trillions and trillions of dollars. And we need to focus on our own domestic problems. We've got so many problems in this country here. And so many people have to work two and three jobs to make ends meet. And so many of the people here in the United States are just living on the streets. They're like homeless because of this dictatorship, this Roman Catholic dictatorship that has this completely compulsion that they have to rule the whole world. Because Satan knows his time is short, and he just wants to say that, have that in his heart. He thinks that's going to help him when he's burning to a crisp and continuously throughout eternity. But that's not going to help him at all. He's crazy. Satan is crazy. And Lord, rebuke him in Jesus' name. Okay, so go ahead.
Is he trying to relate in his own mind the picture of world dominance?
No, that's what the Vatican is attempting to do. And folks, everybody's trying to make it look like the Jews are the ones that are trying to take over the world. They are not. The Vatican uses a few Jews, just maybe a handful of Jews. They've made them cardinals and everything because they love position and power and money. But they've got Polish ones too and everything else, but they don't say Poland is taking over the world. But what it is that The Jews, I lived in Israel, they're poverty stricken. Every dollar they got goes towards the war effort, just trying to protect themselves. And the Jews are are ready to just throw in the towel. You hear them say, yes, we will do anything you want. You can come and punch our eyes out. You can do anything. We want peace. The Jews have always wanted peace because they're God's children. And they're supernatural people. They wouldn't even be alive if they weren't supernatural, because they came out of a dead man's loins. Abraham was beyond the age of being able to have children, and so was Sarah. And here, out of this two dead bodies, comes this great nation, Israel. And it's supernatural. It was actually raised up, came into being by the power of God. And they're a holy nation. And, you know, people should really be careful when you're attacking Jews, even though they are ungodly. God says, I'll bless those that bless thee. Abraham was the first Jew. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then the root of Jesse, the lion from the tribe of Judah. And these are all Jews. And God kept that whole lineage of Jews together until Christ came, to prove without a doubt that he's a Jew, because God knew there'd be a controversy about that. Because people don't read the Bible. And they don't know anything. They're just naive. They're stupid. They're morons. Because they don't care about their own eternal life. If people only realize that this life goes so by so fast. I was like 5 years old yesterday. Now look at me. Look at me now. I'm 72 years old. I'll be 73 this September. And I was just 5 years old yesterday. It just went by like a breath of air. That's how fast life is. And you shouldn't be living your life for this life, okay? Because God has many treasures for you. Many beautiful things for you to have and to be able to do for him before you go out to meet him. And if you go empty-handed, what good is that? You know, you're just going to go there and he's going to say, where are the souls that I gave you? You're supposed to be containing God. God is supposed to be alive and living and working in you. His works, not yours. And we're to give up our old works. Some people say they want to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're still in the dark, because God doesn't want us to just have one day for a Sabbath. He wants us to have every day as a Sabbath. That means a rest from our old ways, a rest from our old works. We have to be dead to this world, our old self, and we must be resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the living God. And we're supposed to be letting God lead, guide, and direct us into good works on this earth rather than the garbage that you people are doing out there. You know, cease and desist. Or there will be people put your eyes out and take your children away from you. You will get sick and there'll be no healing for you. You will be given outward discipline. God does that in hopes that you'll see that that's love from above, attempting to get some sense in your head so that you cry out to God so that he can save and heal you. All right, what else does this character say?
Most of the interview is garbled, which sounds like he is drunk.
Oh, all right, now I'm a drunk, okay? And also I killed Bambi's mother, right? Everything I did, right? Did I sound drunk to you?
No.
Okay, well, I don't think anybody thinks I sound drunk. I don't drink. I've got sugar diabetes. It's under control now. But if I was a person that drank alcohol, I would not live much longer. The Lord, I can't take sugar, okay? If I don't, then I stay real. Oh, everything is under control. Then what? And so, you know, the person that's saying this is probably a lush, okay, a drunk. Then what?
Besides, why would a worldwide spiritual leader be preaching a sermon about Hitler to begin with?
Well, because I'm comparing that regime to the very regime that we're living in today. Hitler bought the garbage from the world government. He was a Catholic. He even went to Catholic school. He was trying to be a Catholic priest. It's even mentioned in his book, Mein Kampf. And he was a soldier of the Vatican. The Vatican backed him up. They wanted someone that would be a diehard and run the government and then build up the military force so big that they would be able to go into other countries for the Vatican and put them under Vatican dominion. But that's exactly what we're doing today. We're running the world we're the world government's army, and we're sticking our noses into places that we're not supposed to do. And now that you know the truth of it, if you back this up, God is going to destroy you people out there. God, haven't you got any sense, for God's sake? God tells you plainly that he'll do that. Now, these battles that are in the Bible, and the victories and all this, these are history. It's all historical. The world was drowned. God did that, not Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. God drowned the world. He barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah. He kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. He's going to burn this earth to a crisp. I mean, come on, wake up. Okay, what else?
Why would a worldwide spiritual leader be preaching a sermon about Hitler to mostly poor and uneducated people?
Well, I guess that must be you. You sound very poor and uneducated. I'm not asking for money. Do you ever hear me ask for money on my programs or in my literature? I own a Beatles album worth over $100 million, and if I wanted money, I would just sell it and just retire for the rest of my life. Plus, I own masters on other people, like Pete Best of the Beatles, and the actual Beatles, John Lennon and Paul McCartney and the rest of them. And when Peter Best was with them, and I own masters on many, Bobby Jameson, who actually is this, is actually as marketable as the Beatles, even more so, most people think. And so I'm not talking to poor people. I talk to everybody, right? Whoever listens to my program. And at first we started out with hippies because those were the only ones that accepted the gospel. But now we have churches all over the world. We're not some little small organization any longer. We're big. We're worldwide. And so, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Okay, then what else?
Personally, because I am of Christian faith,
You are no more a Christian than the devil is. Then what?
I do not see anything wrong with teaching Christianity.
Oh, I'm glad that you don't see anything wrong with teaching Christianity. Why are you talking against one that is preaching Christianity then? Then what?
I do not see anything wrong with teaching Christianity all around the world through the use of shortwave radio, provided that it is taught by a truly dedicated spiritual leader that cares about the welfare of his people.
Okay, well, I've been preaching 2 years, almost 3 years longer than Moses. And so that would, to me, and most people would be able to consider dedicated.
Amen.
Okay? And then not only that, if you'd listen to the mail that I get, I've never heard such great mail. I've been around the Beatles. I've been around Elvis Presley. I've been around Bobby Jameson. I've been around Ruth Vaughn, who I did the promotion for, Sonny and Cher, who I did the promotion for. And I've never heard such great mail as I get. Okay? And I've heard the other mail from other ministers, and they don't get the kind of mail I do. And so somebody believes that I'm preaching the truth. The problem is you don't take the Bible to check it out if I am or not. That makes you a moron. Okay, then what else?
Provided that it is taught by a truly dedicated spiritual leader that cares about the welfare of his people and not his personal wealth or ego.
Well, it's not my... I don't get wealth by preaching the gospel. As a matter of fact, we help as many... we help a lot of people. Everybody that stretches out their hands on a worthy cause, we help. And... to your version of Christianity is that you throw away all leather jackets and all you people. This person here believes that if you're wearing sunglasses, you're another Jim Jones. Because they say that you should not do that. And then they say that you're supposed to wear a suit and a tie. In other words, you know, they have a dress code ministry. But this is nothing of the discipline of the Holy Spirit or the inward anointing either. We're going to have to discipline ourselves to be God's children or Satan's children. We're going to have to discipline ourselves to preach the gospel the way the Bible says, not the way that people that don't read the Bible say that we're supposed to. Everybody's got their own version of how they should serve the Lord. And everybody loves them, but nobody has their own version of how to fly a 747. I mean, I don't know how to fly one, and I wouldn't attempt to tell any pilot how to fly one because I don't know. This person doesn't know anything about the Bible. And 99 and 9/10% of the people in the world, or even more, don't know anything about the Bible. And so they should keep their mouth shut and listen. Amen?
Amen.
Are you God's child or Satan's child? Satan will give you a pass temporarily if you do what he says, because he knows eventually you're going to go to hell and to the lake of fire if you do what he says. But the Holy Spirit, when you live according to the inward anointing, the Holy Spirit, that's the Lord inside of you telling you what to do and where to go and what to do, you're going to know that the Lord is not only going to bless you here in this world, but he's going to bless you forever in the world to come. So the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit must always exceed the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit, to where God doesn't have to create an environment for you that is something that is, that you're not going to like, something that is awful to you. The Lord disciplines the children of Israel. He did it all the time by making them stay out on the wilderness, out in the wilderness, for 40 years because they decided to do something their own way. Oh, we don't want to go in there. We're afraid of the giants. Well, okay, if you're afraid of the giants, then for each day you went over there and inspected that land of milk and honey, and then you said that you were afraid of the giants when you saw me turn Egypt upside down and destroy the entire Egyptian army, and now you're afraid of these big lunkheads out there. David, little David, destroyed Goliath, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you're afraid of these jokers. Of course, this was afterwards. But, so you're going to be out in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're going to eat, like, this honey wafer-type cracker. That was the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. They would have been in the Holy Land in just a few days, in the land of milk and honey, but they were rebellious to the Lord. So the sooner people decide to walk according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in other words, as soon as you decide to do what the Bible says for you to do, that's going to shortcut your ability to be in a higher level in the body of Christ than ever before. So the sooner that you accept the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the sooner there a person will going to progress in the Lord. You're going to be in a higher level. So if you don't progress, you're always going to be where you are today. So remember, God prefers that you walk according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit rather than having him to discipline you by the outwardly by the Holy Spirit. In order to walk according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you must discipline yourself to follow the anointing of the Holy Spirit within. If you won't, God will fix you. He'll fix a situation for you that you're not going to like. And he's not going to like it either. But because he wants to live in you, he wants you to contain him so that some work can get done here on this earth. He wants you to live the church life, all of you Christians, not the religions, but you Christians, to get together as one and don't fight one another and don't disregard what the leaders of this world say. The leaders, the Bible says, are ministers of the gospel. They are not Bush. These people are leading the world down the drain. It's not the Pope. They're leading people to hell and into the lake of fire. So if you obey the Lord, if you obey him, So if you disobey the Lord too much, according to what I've seen down through the years and I see in the Bible, he'll just take you out of this world. When he knows you're just too stubborn to deal with, that's it, he just takes you out. There shouldn't be a constant encountering of outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. You should, at some point or another, wise up. It is always an abnormality if the children in a family are spanked every day or every other day or once a week or once a month, for that matter. And the Lord doesn't want to spank you. He wants you to be obedient. But he will spank you if you aren't, because he spanks those that he loves. Amen?
Amen.
And this is true Christian doctrine. I see my time is up. And so right now we need to get right with the Lord. We need to allow him ourselves to contain him. So make yourself say this prayer to him and let him use you as a container and as a person that is of the Lord. Say this prayer to him. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. All my filthy former sins. And Lord, I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart. And I ask you, Lord, to wash away all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And just thank and praise the Lord now that your soul is saved. Oh, it's so wonderful to receive the Holy Spirit into your spirit. Now you can communicate to the Lord. He can communicate to you. And you are able to ask, and you will receive. Now, we're going to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this message, number 375. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, including postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now we all need the Lord to stand by us in these last days, because without him, we are not going to be able to make it. Without the Lord living in us, we're nothing. And here I am singing, Stand by Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who rests when the water stands by me? When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. I'm growing old and feeble. Stand by me. Well, I do the best I can. And my friends misunderstand. Now, who'd ever lost a battle? Stand by me. Now, who'd ever lost a battle? Stand by me.